And welcome back, everybody. It's time once again to meet our community, the Hispanic business community here in Orange County, powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, with the man who leads that Chamber of Commerce, Ruben Franco. Welcome, sir.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it. We've got a great guest today. We're very fortunate to have our 5th County Supervisor, Katrina Foley, here, longtime friend and supporter of the Chamber. Appreciate you being on, and we'd love to start off our pot. Paul, this thing is already breaking.
Ruben, you did it.
I did it again. Just tell us a little bit about yourself personally. Maybe we don't know about you, your family, where you grew up, all that kind of thing.
Thanks, Ruben. Thanks for including me.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm always here to support our local businesses. I like to say, in Orange County, 95% of our businesses are small businesses and they're family owned. So you support a business, you support a family.
That's right.
And especially our Hispanic Chamber, been a long time supporter, helping to provide grants and supports to listen to what are some of the needs. So happy to be here. What about me? Okay, let's see. I'm a Bruin.
Oh, my.
I know. Yeah. Go Bruins.
Yeah.
Go our women's basketball team. They're amazing this year.
Got to see them play a few times in person.
Okay.
That was awesome.
Amazing. And they're going on to the WNBA, and so that's exciting. We also, I'm getting ready to celebrate 35 years coming up in the summer of marriage with my husband. He's a teacher, and we have 2 sons. They're in their 20s. We've got a boomerang happening right now. And then I've got 1 son this summer going off to study abroad in Rome, and he's in fine arts. So yeah, it's pretty fun. My mom lives with us. We built her a house in the backyard.
Is it an ADU?
Yeah, an accessory dwelling unit.
Okay.
You know, we call it the compound at our house because we've got this house in the front that I expect many family members to live in over the years.
Sure,
and then we have the accessory dwelling unit in the back, and my mom really loves it back there. She's got a garden. She's our master gardener for the house, and she's always out there planting fruit trees and a vegetable garden, and she's great to have around. And then I'm a lawyer, so I have my business in Newport. I still practice law.
Wow,
okay. I know, because I'm
there's not enough hours
in
the day.
I know. I don't know. I love to work. And I also, when you build a business like I did, I've had this business. I started, my first business was in 1998 when I had my first son. And I wanted to be able to have flexibility as a mom. And so then that business partner moved to another state. And so I formed the Foley Group in 2006. And we've been busy ever since. And so it's hard. I can't give it up because it's my baby. I built it from scratch.
So put aside, even with all the other stuff you have going on.
Yeah. And then, you know, I love dancing. I'm a big dancer.
We have film of you dancing Australia. Last year, I knew
that. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
In the aisles.
Yeah.
Getting up in the, I think, because we had.
You had that amazing salsa band.
Andy Vargas, who's the lead singer of Santana.
Singer,
So we do have video of this.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I'm known to get up and dance in the aisles.
Yeah. That was great. We have a few things in common besides being Bruins. My wife and I, it's going to be 34 years in July.
What's the anniversary of July?
7-Eleven.
Okay. We're the 27th.
Okay. And then she's a teacher as well.
Oh, there you go.
So it's like, okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
And we have 2 kids.
When did you graduate UCLA?
1983.
Okay. Yeah. I was 92.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, love the Bruins.
So you got a head start on me.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. But hey, thank you for being on. Thank you for supporting the Chamber and what we do here. We appreciate it. And it is about business and small business and all that kind of stuff. But so you go from there and you become an attorney. What made you want to go into public service, though? What was that like?
Well, it's so interesting because it all started when we decided, my husband grew up in Costa Mesa.
Okay.
And after law school, we decided to move to Costa Mesa to make it our home. And I didn't know anyone. And so I decided, I'm going to apply to be on the Planning Commission. I'm a lawyer. I'll use my legal skills. I had no clue. And I'll meet people.
Okay.
Some people decide to go join some social network group. I like to go into the community service as a way to meet people with common interests. And so I got appointed to the Planning Commission. And who knew I'd be the first woman on the Planning Commission, the first woman chair, rather.
Okay.
The first and only pregnant woman planning commissioner. And Why is that important? Because we made a lot of changes during that time period, because what I was experiencing as a woman and as a mom, and it's very common now, but in those days, we didn't have changing stations or places for moms to nurse if they wanted privacy, sure, or anything like that. Yeah. So that's all kind of commonplace now. But in 28 years ago, that was not commonplace. If you couldn't believe that, it's not been that long.
Wow.
And then I was the chair at a time when we had a very large development project that was very controversial called the Home Ranch Development. So if you go by IKEA, that was part of that project.
Okay.
And then where the Hive, where the Chargers had their headquarters, that was part of the project. It wasn't the Chargers headquarters at that time. It was just this building. And then there's a housing development off of Susan Street. Susan Street was part of the project. It was an act of Congress to get Susan Street exit approved, a literal act of Congress. And so I was the lead at the Planning Commission for what was a very controversial project. We had meetings till 2-3 in the morning. I learned a lot, and that's where I met Pam Cepeda and Cora Lee Newman and Carol Hoffman, all government affairs entitlement consultants. That's where I developed a working relationship with the Segerstrom family because they owned all the property.
Okay.
And then it turned out to be a really great project, got approved by the city council. And then there was an effort to have a referendum that failed. And here we are, all these years later. I got recruited to run for city council because I did such a good job on that project. And then the rest is kind of history. Just a whole series of events that led me to the county supervisor.
So planning commission, city council, mayor of Costa Mesa.
Yeah, I took a little break from city council. I served on the school board. I got recruited to run for the school board in 2010 because a lot of our families in the neighborhood that my kids went to school at, they were leaving the neighborhood and going to schools in Huntington Beach, Newport. And so a group of parents said, we need you to run because we want to keep our public schools with our public school families right here in the community, and we need you. And so I ran and I won, and it was actually the easiest campaign I've ever had, and I only wish the campaigns could be like that. Now, I sent out one mailer.
Okay.
I raised $10,000. It was like, it's 10 times harder.
Because how many people vote in a school board?
It's Newport and Costa Mesa.
Oh.
So it was the first time I ran in Newport as well. But I beat the incumbent.
Okay.
And the whole point that why did I run? Because I wanted my kids to go to school with the families in the community. Also, our schools were not good. They were doing poorly. They didn't have a college-bound culture. They didn't have any trades. They didn't have good facilities. There was no science labs. The sports fields had gopher holes everywhere.
Okay.
It was terrible. So in 4 years, I helped to support building a new middle school, 2 theaters, one at Corona Del Mar, one at Costa Mesa High School, a new stadium at Costa Mesa High School, and science labs in the middle school and a new middle school. So we worked really hard. We changed sort of the whole culture of the school community there. And we got programs like dual immersion in Spanish that was going, as well as Mandarin. And so we had now K through 12 in the Newport Harbor High School zone and in the Costa Mesa High School zone, K through 12, with AP as well for both languages, Spanish and Mandarin. So I did that in only 4 years. We got that all going, and they've grown. It's grown since then and improved since then. And then went first directly elected mayor of Costa Mesa. And then in the pandemic, look, businesses were struggling and the community was struggling, and our county board and they weren't letting us as cities talk to the healthcare officer. And so when the seat came up for a special election, I said, I can do better, and I'm going to run for that seat.
So that's what gave you the impetus there.
Yep.
So with planning commission, council, school board, mayor, which one do you think you enjoyed the most? Which one do you think you had the most impact?
this doing. Job is the most impactful.
Being the supervisor.
Yeah.
And I... Well, definitely, you have a lot bigger campus.
Yeah, I represent Costa Mesa all the way down to San Clemente, but it is definitely the most impactful. I had no idea. Earlier, we were talking about how people don't know about government, and I had no idea what the county supervisor did and what influence you could have to improve the quality of the community if you use the position in a way that, like we do, because my county supervisor, when I was the mayor, city council member, school board member, was pretty much absent.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you have, and what is it, the county budget's, is it $9
billion? $10.8 billion.
Off a couple billion.
Yeah.
So, okay. And what is that mostly spent on? What is county funds mostly spent on?
It's 83% of our county budget is state and federally mandated programming. Mm. So that's public protection, that's social service safety net, that's looks like housing, homelessness, benefits, etc. So that is our 83% of our budget. And we get that money from the federal government, from the state government, and we have to spend it on these programs. Unfortunately, they don't give us enough money because the programs cost more than the funding. Right. So the portion of our general fund that could go to other activities that aren't state or federally mandated, we have to backfill. So we really have very little money in our county budget, even though we're the sixth largest budget in America. We have about only $126 million that we have discretion over how that money is spent as a board. And so it's really hard. It's Orange County. We're talking about how we're a donor county to the state and to the feds, and we don't get our fair share. We only get 5 cents on the dollar of our property taxes. We're the lowest out of the 58 counties. We get the lowest amount back.
Really?
Yeah, nobody knows this. I've been telling this to people.
5%. Okay.
Yeah, five cents on the dollar.
Five cents on the dollar. If we had more money for the county, what are some of the things that you would focus on, or what would we do with that extra money?
So the extra money could be used for, of course, improving our beaches and protecting our coastline.
Okay. 43 beautiful miles of coastline.
That's right. And it is also critical to our economy.
Yeah.
It's a third of our economic revenue generating is coming from the coastal economy. So we want to make sure that it's protected. We have big sandy beaches, and we have clean water and clean beaches. Also, support for our small businesses, innovation, grants, lifting up small businesses in terms of helping to support training for businesses. We have some of those programs in our workforce development programs already, but we could always have more. Helping businesses transition for some of these new requirements that are out there with regard to reduction of plastics and other things. So having those business supports, something I would support with our, if we had extra money. Of course, improving our roads, transportation is key. Yeah. That's important. And services, our county right now, we've added 37 new inspectors for our environmental health department. That is critical because restaurants that are opening up across Orange County, we have a lot of restaurants here.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
We have a lot of members that are.
Yeah, we have a lot of restaurants, and which is great. But it's also one thing I've been prioritizing, you know, as a small business owner myself, time is money. If we don't get these permits approved in a very short window of time, you're forcing new businesses, especially restaurants, to burn capital. That's right. Capital they can't invest into the facade or the equipment or staffing to get ready to open. And so when I had a roundtable meeting, I like to do these roundtables with real people who are in business so that we can get real feedback. And we met with a group of restaurateurs and some chambers, and they shared about how it's taking like 6 months to get their permits.
Yep.
Too long. Okay. Now we're down to something like 20 days on average. We took it from 6 months to 20 days on average. And how did we do that? More staffing, one, which costs money. Two, we've used technology. You used to have to bring your paperwork into the counter. Then you got to go to environmental health, and you got to go over to building and
get stamped.
Yeah, yeah. Now, digital. You can do everything digital, and then it can be spread out to all the different departments digitally as well. This is 2026. Let's go, people. And so, yeah, so that has made a big difference. And I think just more coordination. I have a pilot project going on at Dana Point Harbor right now. I just got briefed on it this morning.
Oh, yeah.
And we have a whole coordinated effort where we're having the city permitting, the county permitting, the environmental health permitting, everybody coming together so that we can have one-stop permitting for all the businesses that are going to need permits as we open the harbor and the commercial area. So innovative programs like that. Those require investments.
They do. They do. And they require a change of culture, right?
Yeah.
And leadership from somebody to say, this is what we're going to do and do it. Yeah. How is that Dana Point Harbor project going?
It's going great. I have a briefing every 2 weeks. We have a team call. And so we go around and get an update from the commercial side, the marina, the hoteliers, the county side. And we have the commercial core is... Buildings have been demolished. Permitting is done. We're moving forward, and we're on track to open the commercial core by the Olympics, which I'm excited about, 2028. And then we also we're phase 11 of 15 in the marina have been completed. We're now moving on. We have the hotels have been approved at the Coastal Commission, which was a big task.
Yes.
My office worked diligently and collaboratively to try to get that done. So we have some financing issues with the hotels that we're going to probably work through over the summer. And then I got the board to approve on Tuesday. Well, I guess that was yesterday. Yesterday feels like last week.
Yeah.
It was a long day. We got the board to approve our consultant that we're hiring to reimagine the county side. So that's where the baby beach is. And
Mother's Beach, I guess.
Yeah, they sometimes call it Mother's Beach.
Okay.
I've only known it as Baby Beach. But
Yeah,
it's that county area where you have the community center, and we have the little docks for all the sailing programs and the kid programs. So we are reimagining that whole space. We're going to make it the park bigger, move the community center so that we're maybe taking advantage of the fact that we're on the water.
Yeah.
It's a wall. You can't even see the water from the building. And the kitchen doesn't work. It's falling apart. So reimagining that area. We got a grant for redoing the docks. We're underway on that. So yeah, a lot happening.
Yeah, that's a beautiful area to go down. We don't live that far from there, and we love going down there. We're excited about when it's all completed.
Yeah, yeah. And do patronize those businesses that are on the wharf.
Definitely.
Because they're still open.
Yeah.
And we want to drive business to them. There's the John's Fish Shop, which has been there forever. Great fresh fish every day from the fishing industry that's right there at the harbor, run by Dana Wharf Sport Fishing. And then we've got Coco Bloom, which is this business. She's 23 years old. She started the business there when she was 22 last year, and just trying to support her. It's a little coffee shop.
It's the one, I think I've seen it.
Right? It's right next to John's Fish, right there, next to the vintage yacht store.
Right.
And then we've got Frisbee Sellers down there. And then if you go to the Ocean Institute side, we moved Coffee Importers, one of the favorites of the community, over there.
Okay.
Yeah, it's now at Ocean Institute.
Okay.
Beautiful deck, water view. It's lovely over there. And he partnered with Jim Miller, longtime Dana Point Harbor restaurateur. He partnered with his daughter, and now she has a pastry shop there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So she makes fresh croissants and pastries every day.
We're always excited to hear about businesses growing or starting or getting that's for us, that's what we do 24/7. So it's always fun to see that in our community. What are some of, I know you worked on it when you were mayor, you worked on it as supervisor. I know it's a hot topic statewide and nationwide, but the homeless issue.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on what we should be doing here in Orange County? What are we not doing that we should be doing? I mean,
So if we had extra revenue, we could do more to build more housing and build the kind of housing that we need. Gap housing, workforce housing, and housing for seniors as well. Mm-hmm. Homelessness has been an issue in our state for a while. Look, California is sunny most of the year. And so it is a place where if you are unfortunately experiencing homelessness, you at least can be dry, right? Yeah. So we tend to deal with this issue, I think, more than maybe other places. But in Orange County, in the last 6 years, we've built out a system of care that is much better than we were before. We have about 60 shelter locations throughout the county, and they're not congregate shelters. We only have four of those, I think five. They're more like we have shelter where people can live with the family in apartment living.
Type dwellings.
Yeah. We have some motel shelter operations. So we've really worked hard to build out a system for crisis intervention, coupled with street medicine, coupled with enforcement, right? So we have adopted a new set of rules that relate to whether or not you can encamp in a park, you know, in a county space. We can't just continue to just walk by and let the person die and degrade right in front of us. It's just not moral.
Yeah.
And so we really are building out that system that's, you have to have all the components. You can't just have enforcement. You have to have services, supports, and housing. So we've tried to really build that out. And we're working really hard to reduce individuals experiencing homelessness. And I really feel the work that we're doing is meaningful. And now what I see, I used to see a lot of individuals that would be in front of businesses in the morning, and they'd have to then clear the area. And it was very difficult for some of our businesses, especially businesses that have little strip centers or their little restaurants. And no one wants to have to get to their shop or their restaurant early in the morning so that they can hose down the sidewalk from things that maybe we don't want to talk about. But, and so I think a lot of that has gone away. There's still some pockets, but a lot of that has gone away. And now we really have to deal with mental illness and drug addiction.
Yes.
The people that are mostly on the streets experiencing homelessness are mentally ill, or it's drug-induced mental illness. And that's a fact. And now we're working towards some involuntary efforts, because some people, they don't have mental capacity to make the decision to get help. And so we don't want to just allow people to degrade. But we also know that because of our point in time count, we know that a lot of people are experiencing homelessness, but they might not be sitting in a park, or they might not be visible to you. When I was a girl, my family, we shared a room at a friend's house. We lived on people's couches. We lived in a van. We lived in a trailer. There are people who are having those experiences that people don't know. My friends didn't know. I wasn't going to tell them, especially when I'm a teenager. So we have a lot of
housing insecure.
Yes, housing insecure.
Yeah.
And so we've got to build more housing. We're also working on rental assistance to keep people housed, because if we can keep people housed, we can treat, like, what is the risk? As opposed to when people are unhoused, it's a lot more expensive.
It is, whether it's just getting a deposit for a new unit or all the things. We had one of our members on Spin OC, which concentrates on 400 families that are in that kind of pocket. And there's these different pockets, obviously, of homelessness.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned, whether it's mental illness or whether it's drug addiction or whether it's veterans, right?
Yeah.
Which is very important in kids who age out of foster care. And so how do we tackle it comprehensively? And you mentioned personally ADU. What do you think about ADUs as far as this issue, but also the housing issue too, as by being part of that solution?
Yeah, I think it worked for my family. Look, we built the ADU because my mom and my grandma, who since passed, both lost their husbands within a year of each other. And they lived in different places, and then they moved into my house. And it got very crowded in the house, right?
Sure.
At that time, we had our sons living with us. And so we were looking for a house to buy for them so they could live together. We couldn't afford any houses.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe how expensive everything had gotten.
Yeah.
And this was in 21, 22. So we just decided to, we had a big enough space in the back. We decided to build a house for them, a two bedroom, two bath house. And it worked out perfectly for less than $300,000. Probably could have got it for less, but I wanted to make sure that in case I have to live there someday,
thinking ahead,
had nice counters, yeah, and sure, high ceilings. Yeah. But yeah, so we were able to build that house for them. We couldn't buy a house for that low amount.
Not
yeah,
anymore.
Yeah. And it's lovely. It turned out lovely. So families can really benefit from being able to build accessory dwelling units. And it depends on where you live. A lot of cities are allowing people, under state law, you can still build out your garage and all these different places. You got to balance that with the impacts of parking, right, and things like that. But it is an opportunity for our families to be able to keep the families living in Orange County, yeah, and not have to move. But it's also for those who want to rent there and take advantage of the equity that they have in their home and their property to be able to rent and have a rental unit right on site.
Yeah, luxury,
so that helps families with their economics.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think as we dig further into that, not just Orange County, but the state and everything that we deal with, what are some of the bigger issues that you foresee right now that we have to, that are challenges for Orange County, and what are the issues going forward that we're going to have to deal with as a county?
Yeah. One of our biggest challenges is our economics, right? Even though we're a wealthy county, like I said, sixth largest economy in America. We're a donor county to the state. We're a donor county to the federal government. But in terms of our county budget, we are very tight, okay, very lean. And we are subject to the instability of the federal and state governments. And so with what's happening in the federal government as it relates to HR 1, impacting healthcare, impacting our eligibility workers and our procedures and increased staffing requirements without extra funding, in regards to the state threatening to take $232 million out of our, or push it back down to us related to our in-home healthcare service workers that help to provide care for people who are indigent, people who are paralyzed, people who otherwise would be in institutions, costing us a lot more money as taxpayers. Right. So we have these competing, I like to say it's a bipartisan hit, competing forces, okay, that impact our county budget. So what I've, and we don't have an economic development plan at the county. So I've
been, we don't have an economic development department at the county.
We
right?
don't. We yeah. don't.
And which, I think we're one of the few counties in the state.
Yes.
We're the largest county in the state that doesn't.
That's absolutely right. And so that's part of something I want to work on over the next 4 years to really.
We're right there with you.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I got it. We've yeah. got to do it.
Yeah.
And we have been a passive recipient of funding.
Yeah.
So the idea to create this economic development plan and have a like a point at the county right. that manages this is to also look at all of our county parcels. We have so many county parcels. Just in District 5 alone, we have 4 county parcels that are entitled but not developed. They've been entitled for more than 10 years with no development. And that's money sitting there being lost every single day. They're not developed. And when I say entitled, they've already have the permits to the basic permits. They still have to get additional permitting depending on the design, et cetera. But they have the agreements with the county to build a golf course, housing, commercial, medical office, new hotel.
So where are these?
So we've got Laguna Niguel Town Center. We've got Newport Dunes. We have Coyote Canyon, which is supposed to be a golf course. It's been entitled for a okay. golf course for almost 10 years.
Wow.
We have, of course, Dana Point Harbor that's underway. Yep. We have the Civic Center plan that's being discussed right now. We'll be moving forward, I think, on doing an RFP this summer. 401 Civic Center is just a building that's vacant that we need to tear it down and build something.
Sure.
We have over on Main Street in Santa Ana. We have 17th Street in Santa Ana. So there's all these different county parcels that we can generate revenue from. This is revenue that is ongoing, would come into the county indefinitely because of the rent that we would work out and the gross receipts that we would get. So we've got to get moving on it. And that's part of what I think should be our economic development plan. We also need to look at workforce housing.
Right.
And I'm working in Rancho Mission Viejo, trying to get a deal done there where we can build some maybe first responder housing. And when I say first responder, police, fire, nurses, our healthcare workers, so that we can keep these people that we invest deeply in working here in the county, and they don't go to other counties where they can afford to buy a home. We have to build ownership equity housing. We can't just build rental apartments.
No, I agree with that, because I live in South County, I live in Ladera, and those are things that are needed. We need that workforce, and we deal with it too, right?
Yeah.
As a chamber, what are we going to do with our workforce if they can't afford to live here? And our kids can't afford to live here, and they go to school here, and then they have to move away because how expensive it is.
Yeah.
What are some of the other issues you're dealing with right now besides workforce, homeless, budgetary constraints? What do you foresee looking big picture for Orange County, like where we're at today? We are blessed to be in Orange County.
Oh, yeah.
So we don't take it for granted. But what do you see in the future for this county?
I think the Olympics are coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2028, we'll have surfing down at Trestles, which is Orange County adjacent. And the Honda Center will host the volleyball.
Yeah.
We've got the Dutch coming to Mission Viejo for their training. We have the Italians at Cal State Fullerton for their training. We're trying to recruit other international teams to really work here in Orange County. As Supervisor Sarmiento and I have been appointed as the heads for our Olympic Planning Committee, and I'm already underway trying to get Orange County a seat at the table for LA 28.
Okay.
We haven't had a seat at the table. We're way behind. Okay.
Yeah, I think we are.
And so I've been trying to get us going on this for a couple months now, almost a year. And we finally got it going. But we need to build out our transportation system. And I don't mean build out as in build roads or anything, but we need to get what is the shuttle system going to look like? What are we going to look like in terms of air taxi mobility? Are we going to be ready for that? I have a task force working on that as well. The beauty of this position, if you really want to get things done, is that there is such a diversity of projects to work on in the fabulous 5th District. And so I just love it. I'm learning about air taxis.
Yeah.
Who knew? Yeah. And so we have a lot to do to get ready for the Olympics. And I think that is going to be a big project over the next 2 years. Also, of course, we want to make sure the safety of our residents during the Olympics is secure, as well as for our visitors. And I know that Sheriff Barnes is working on that as our representative to LA 28. Cybersecurity is a key issue. Human trafficking, I've been learning, is a risk, if you can believe that. The Olympics might bring human trafficking, which I think is terrible.
But. Yeah, more than we already have, unfortunately. But there's always an element of things that happen. But we're excited about it. We had one of our fellow Bruins on our podcast, Mitch Gaylord, who Olympic gold medalist at school with me way back when. But and then I know Karch Kurei as well with the volleyball. And so we're excited.
Misty Mays from here.
We've got a lot of Olympians.
April Ross is in Costa Mesa.
Yeah. So it's exciting. We want to support that as well and be part of that and whatever we can do.
Yeah.
I think we're running up against our time, which I can't believe, because we could talk for hours about everything that's going on in Orange County now, tomorrow, and 5 years from now or 10 years from now. But I just want to say we appreciate you coming on the podcast. More importantly, we appreciate your support and your leadership
you've
provided for us over the years, and we look forward to continue working with you.
I do too. And we really need to support businesses right now.
We do.
I've always said that if you support businesses, if you lift our economy up, then we can do all of these other things that those of us who care about the social service safety net, I care deeply about making sure families have supports. I grew up extremely poor. I was a Head Start graduate. I went to UCLA on a Pell Grant. Okay. And I was able to, I think, meet the potential of life because I had good public school teachers who believed in me and kind of pushed me forward because I was the first to go to college. Nobody really knew how to do it. So I care deeply about making sure we protect that social service safety net. The only way to do that is if we build up our economy, we support our businesses.
That's right.
And that's how we generate revenue.
So. We wholeheartedly agree here at the Chamber. Katrina, thank you very much for coming on. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Look forward to seeing you again because we always see you out in the community.
I know. Let me know what I can do. We're here to serve.
We will do that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for listening.
There you have it. One more reason to tune in each and every time to meet our community. Right here in Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio. Streaming live from our studios here at the University of California, Irvine's Beale Applied Innovation Center.